The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
A Taco Bell commercial. That was what was on TV when he was drafted at 41, and now he's the back-to-back MVP. But did voters get Jokic right? Also, Chris Paul's beef supreme. And Ja's status for tonight. Let's go around the horn. We have a panelist here. I mean, is it a conspiracy theory? I don't know, but we have a panelist here who is wondering if the Grizzlies are guilty of theorizing conspiracy.
I'll never tell.
Let's talk about that. The latest on Ja Morant, listed as doubtful tonight in the Broke the Code series. The injury is a knee tweak. We never got confirmation if it's the Jordan Poole play. Memphis seems to be hinting it is, or if it's the play with the landing here. NBA has already ruled that Poole play does not rise to the occasion of excessive force. But Morant tweeted it broke the code, and even though he deleted it, the blood in this series is getting churned and getting chummed. So the question is, did Jordan Poole break the code? Did Morant break the code by invoking the code? Is Memphis right to ratchet this up? Sarah Spain, you were just theorizing, that's all I'm gonna call it, a minute ago. Please, the floor is yours.
Yeah, just the language around this has seemed weird to me. Jenkins said the grab of the knee is what triggered the potential injury. And I've never heard anyone describe an injury as potential. Either you were injured or you weren't. What does potential injury mean? And then he probably very likely could be out for the game. Like, all of the language around it just seems strange. And to me, it feels like they didn't like Steve Kerr's reaction to Brooks. Foul on Peyton Jr., Peyton II. They didn't like the way that this series was being talked about. So now let's offer up potential that this was a dirty play that caused this injury, but now we're saying potential injury because he might still come back. To me, that's what this is about, is we want to get out in public, and particularly to the officials, that we think that this is a dirty play. Both teams are dirty. You know, we even heard from some of Morant's teammates that they said, I don't think any play in this series has been dirty. Okay, so now we're going to go backtrack to Brooks, too. That's what this is about.
Okay, so, and your personal opinion on the play, Poole's hand on the knee and everything, is that dirty? Is that?
I thought he was going for the ball.
You did.
And missed and grabbed it. And didn't even look like Morant reacted in the moment.
George Sedano, to you.
Tony, I agree. I don't think it was a dirty play. I don't think he broke the code. I think that this is one of those situations where slow motion does him a disservice, where in real time he's trying to swipe at the ball, but then we see it in 50 different angles in slow motion, and of course it's going to look like he's grabbing his knee and twisting it or whatever. That's not what happened here. And by the way, if I'm Memphis, I'm not all that worried, because history is on their side here to at least be competitive, in my opinion. There have been 6 instances in NBA history where the lower seed has been a double-digit favorite. Only one has covered in those situations, and 2 of them have won outright, the underdog in that situation. So if you're Memphis, not only is the 20-5 thing in play, the fact that you're 14 points better per game when he hasn't played, there's a lot of historical context here that can help the Memphis Grizzlies, even without Ja, and he's going to be fine eventually.
We'll get to that a little bit deeper in a second. Frank, on the churning of the water here, the blood in the water, and Memphis maybe trying to ratchet this up. How do you see it?
Yeah. You know, all is fair in love in the NBA playoffs. This reminds me so much of Phil Jackson and Pat Riley, Knicks and Bulls, when they would go back at it post-game, off days. This all goes back to Steve Kerr when he was interviewed after the first quarter of Game 2, and he said, that wasn't physical, that was dirty. Taylor Jenkins missed an opportunity after that game to say, hang on a second, you didn't say dirty when Draymond Green hit Brandon Clark in the face and pulled him down by the scruff of his jersey. They missed that. That's why Taylor Jenkins is saying this now. Right now, the Memphis Grizzlies have lost 2 games. They're also losing in the mind games as well. Taylor Jenkins is trying to catch up to Steve Kerr, who, guess who he played for? Phil Jackson.
I understand. But in this particular instance, do you believe Poole was dirty in some way?
No, not at all. But they're trying to get, they want the league to suspend him, just like the league suspended Dylan Brooks. They don't want to come out and say it. They're just trying to put it out there. Hang on, you suspended our guy, suspend their guy.
Okay, and also, do you believe Memphis is ratcheting this up? Do you believe, I guess, Morant is going to play
100%.
Today?
100%. When these coaches, listen, everyone loves Steve Kerr. He's the anointed one. I get it. You got to get in the mud and mix it up. Jeff Van Gundy had to do it with Pat Riley. You're Taylor Jenkins. Don't be the little, like, unknown coach. You need to go at the Golden State Warriors. Go at Steve Kerr. He missed his opportunity after game two. He's playing catch up now.
And Kevin Blackiston.
Well, this is what makes the NBA great when you compare it to some other.
Okay,
leagues.
So you think because this makes it great. Some are saying there's too much chalking, that John Morant has more tweets than field goal attempts. I don't think that's actually true.
Absolutely not. There is no league with more drama and more people who understand drama and theatrics than the people in the NBA to get you talking about all of this. Oh, my goodness. Jordan Poole, he grabbed his knee purposely to try and get it out of joint in order to keep him out the game so he won't drop another 36
ridiculous.
Or 40-some points on the team. Absolutely not happening. But Frank's absolutely correct that this is all the mind game. This is the gamesmanship that's going on here. And
okay,
Steve
will
Kerr,
it have any effect on tonight's game, I guess, is the question I would ask you then.
Of course. It has a huge impact. And I know about the 20-5 without Ja Morant, but that's regular season. That's not against the Golden State Warriors who are playing like they're champions again.
Frank, I sold tonight.
Kevin said, I'm right. I'm going to say that he's right. He's 100% right. This is the Warriors. It's the playoffs. It's on the road. They're a minus 32 in the 29 minutes without Ja Morant on the court. Remember that. And that's an experienced Warriors team.
George, you're
tonight.
Shaking your head no.
Tony, I'm shaking my head no to Kevin when he said that it's just a regular season thing. Well, if you look at 25-point-per-game scorers that have missed a significant amount of time, you look at Kevin Durant in the 2016-17 season with the Warriors, they won a championship. You look at Kawhi Leonard with the Raptors, they
different
won a championship.
Team.
And the 2000-2001 season with Kobe Bryant, they won a championship. So I'm not ruling out Memphis.
You've got a lot of stats there.
You compared the Memphis Grizzlies to those teams? All right.
Yeah, I just think you have to think about the specific teams that are playing now. This is a very young Grizzlies team with a young coach playing against an extremely savvy Warriors team that failed earlier in the series only because of their own inability to put the ball in the basket. That wasn't less have to do with the Grizzlies than themselves. They just last game went 60-50-90, the only second team ever to do that in the playoffs. They had one of their best shooting performances. If they're even half decent, they beat the Grizzlies even with Ja.
All right, so Sarah Blackiston and Isola have Golden State tonight. Sedano, I'm not asking for a pick, but it sounds like you're saying it's pretty even tonight.
Memphis.
You got Memphis.
I think Memphis can win, yes.
We'll move on. Sixers 116, Heat 108 last night. This was the game you asked for from James Harden, Frank Isola, that really nobody thought he still had it in Arsenal, which followed the Embiid game that no one was sure he was healthy enough to have. So it's 2 out of 2. No, out of nowhere, this series, Frank, now is even. Do the Sixers have the advantage with Embiid back and with Harden showing what he could do?
They definitely have an advantage with Embiid because he can overpower Bam Adebayo just like Giannis did last year in the first round. But Miami has home court. Miami will play better. They could not make a three-point shot last night. But say this about Embiid. To play that way with a mask on in the two games, that says a lot about him because, you know, we've questioned him, never been out of the second round. But for James Harden, he needed this game. He had only scored 30 points once since January 25th. Prior to last night. He needed that performance. He needed that fourth quarter. He got it done. I give Philadelphia a lot of credit. George and his Miami people knew this felt like a gentleman's sweep. This felt like this was going to be a five-game series. I can't believe that the Philadelphia is going to get at least a game six. Credit to them. That was a great win for them.
It's an even series, and now you're like, at least they'll be eliminated in six games. Listen to Isola. Blackiston, how about you?
Well, it's an even series specifically because Embiid is back. I mean, he makes the difference. We know about the size difference. But if James Harden can play like that, and as I said the other week, he's got to play emphatically. And that's what he did. He took 18 shots. It's the most shots he's had in the postseason.
Right.
He hasn't had more than 18 shots since March. So he's got to be an impactful player and not defer to other people. He's got to remember he is an MVP. He is a star. He was brought there in order to get this team to the championship.
Out of Spain. Vantage whom?
It's still, to me, the Heat, because this seems to be a series of Heat streaks. The Sixers, when they were in Miami, 14 of 64 from beyond the arc when they brought it home to Philly. They shot 16 of 33. That's a 54-point swing right there just across the two games that they played at home. And that was because Embiid returned and opened up the court. That was because guys started making more shots. But you take this back to Miami, and who do you believe is likely to be more consistent? The group of players that Miami sends out there, the Jimmy Butler who had a great game like that, or James Harden, who we haven't seen do this not only in his recent iteration as a player, but even when he was great, his playoff games usually had drop-offs. So that was a remarkable game for him, and I'm less likely to believe that he'll do that over and over.
Call it heat streak. I call it heat strokes. George Sedano, advantage room.
I still think it's the Heat, although to Frank's point, I picked Heat in 7 on ESPN.com, so you can document that. It wasn't a gentleman's sweep in my estimation, because I think that Tyrese Maxey has given the Heat tons of fits, and we saw that in the second half of Game 3, and we saw what he did yesterday. It's not just James Harden. I am questioning James Harden a little bit, because I just don't think he's going to get the opportunities, as Kevin mentioned earlier. Look, he's had the one game of 30 points or more in that situation. Like, I just don't see that they're going to be able to share the ball enough. And Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches when it comes to adjustments. I still think the Heat will win the series.
One more story here. MVP. It's still a report from Woj. This is a very slow rollout here for MVP. We've been talking about it for months. And we now have word it will be Nikola Jokic MVP, as we all assume. Somehow, this turned into a culture war in the league, George Sedano. I mean, whether it's scandal that he's won 2 in a row now, whether this was Embiid's year or not, George, did they get this right? And what does back-to-back mean for Jokic?
Tony, I'm not going to be upset if someone is going to sit here and say that Joel Embiid should be the MVP. I think you're just kind of splitting hairs between the two personally. But I think they got it right. He's the first guy to have 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 500 assists in a season. And the problem that people have is that he's in rarefied air, that he's won consecutive MVPs. Look at the guys that have won it. Giannis, LeBron has done it twice. You've got Steph Curry, you've got Steve Nash. And here's the thing. Remember, when Steve Nash won it, there was a lot of pushback, too, because he doesn't look like an Adonis like LeBron or Giannis. Even Steph took some grief when he won back-to-back, even though one of those was unanimous in that situation. I think when people look at Nikola Jokic, he's not this powerful force. He's finesse and skill, and that's what's got people all messed up. And he's a center. There's only been one that has won it in the last, I don't know, yeah, he's the second basically since 83.
But you're not even invoking the playoffs here, right? That's the other thing. Yeah. He's home. Mm-hmm. And Joel Embiid, we just saw the impact he made. Sarah Spain, did they get this right?
Yeah, I think everything George said is a part of it, and it's a smaller market that doesn't get as much media attention, so people aren't as infatuated with him, and it's the fact that his team doesn't continue to go on long streaks in the postseason. But this is a regular season award. We can have all the semantics conversation. Is it the best player on the best team or just the best player? Either way, if we just gave him the award right when the regular season ended, we wouldn't have a debate about it because we'd be looking at the numbers he just put up and say,
oh, you think this is the timing thing? Yeah, it's a very slow rollout. Kevin Blackestone, how about you?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. And I think it is splitting hairs with Embiid. I mean, you look at their stats and they're awfully, awfully close. One thing I may lean towards Jokic on is just the fact of omission, right? Who he was playing without and how long he had to carry that team with the injuries to star players.
And Frank, I
went Jokic, Embiid, and then I had Giannis, Devin Booker, and Jason Tatum. And somewhere David Stern is smiling. Think about what the Dream Team did. 4 straight international players, European players, have won MVP, and you got Luka Doncic in the league.
Right.
I'll tell you what, there are 3 letters they don't know in Europe. AAU. There might be a reason
NBA,
for the player development that they do in Europe.
An African player, too. Right, it's an international award. But it's not a scandal. The Sixers won 3 more games than the Nuggets in the regular season.
Jokic played 6 more games than Embiid did in the regular season. That stuff counts, too. We'll be back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, It's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Sticking with the NBA, the two-minute report might as well be the 48-minute report these playoffs. You know you only get six fouls. Here's all six for Chris Paul yesterday. It's number six that you'll see in a second. It came so early in the fourth and got him out of the game. It's an oof. So it's that. It's how Dallas has been able to frustrate Paul through the entire two games since touching down in Texas. It's the fact that we are even in this series as well, which many of you did not think was possible. George, first on Paul's fouls, especially number six, make the call.
I have less of an issue with number six, Tony, more of an issue with number five. I feel like number five should have been a no call when they kind of tripped over each other, him and Brunson. And look, it's the first time in Chris Paul's his postseason career where he's had more fouls than points. Like, it's pretty wild. But the reason it's happening, they're going at him, Tony. The way that they were targeting Luka in the first two games, they're doing that with Chris Paul. Luka is targeting Chris Paul in a way where they're making him defend a much bigger
player. Follow up here, George. Is it in Chris Paul's head? I mean, I want to say there's a very serious side to this story, of course, with the fan interaction with his family, which everyone agrees is abysmal and should never happen. But from the basketball sense, is it in Paul's head?
No, I don't think so. I think Chris Paul, man, he's laser focused from game to game. I don't think he lets things carry over. So I don't believe that that's the case. But they are targeting him and forcing him to defend in a way he hasn't had to defend.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, to build off that, I think fatigue is often the reason for turnovers and for kind of lazy fouls. And what you saw from all of those is, like, a lot of them could have gone uncalled. They weren't egregious, like, oh my God, what are you watching? But it was like, you didn't need to call that, especially number six, to your point. So I think what we've seen from Chris Paul is that on the Mavs side, they're figuring out how to better support Luka and win when he scores 30 or fewer, which means it's better distribution around. And on the Suns side, they haven't been able to have enough people step up when Chris has a bad game like he has the last two.
Kevin Blackstone.
Yeah, you know, the foul that jumps out to me in all of this, and it goes back to the point you all just made about Chris Paul being targeted, was his fourth foul, which came inside of a minute of the first half.
Yep.
When Monty put him back in the game. And I just thought that given the way the game was being called, that was a really risky move that came back to haunt them. What does it mean going forward? You know, up until this weekend, the Mavericks had lost 11 straight to the Suns. And I got to think that Monty Williams is going to make some adjustments, and they'll be better when they get back home.
Frank Isola.
I remember being at a playoff game when LeBron James fouled out. It was like seeing Halley's Comet. To see Chris Paul foul out in 23 minutes, I'll tell you what, on the sixth one, Jalen Brunson is in the air and he does grab his wrist and pulls back and then he lifts his hands up like this. One name we didn't mention, Dorian Finney-Smith. That had more to do with Chris Paul. 8 3-pointers. Terrific game for him for the Dallas Mavericks.
According to the two-minute report, there were 5 missed calls in the last 120 seconds. Of Celtics-Bucks Game 3. And remember, the goaltend wasn't even in the last 2 minutes, and that's not even what they're talking about. But Marcus Smart's shooting or not shooting and called on the floor it was not shooting was not one of the 5 mistakes according to the league. There's another look at it. Sarah, Game 4 is in 3 hours, but should the Celtics still be bitter about Game 3?
No. First of all, you could see that being a pass. You could see that being a rip through. Like, there was no guarantee that that was going to be a shot. And he was very early in the motion. So it was a dumb foul. Sure, they should have fouled earlier. But that's fine. Here's the stat that actually should matter to the Celtics. In the last 16 and a half minutes of that game, the Celtics shot 17 free throws and Milwaukee shot 0. So you can go back and look at every single call that didn't go your way, but there was not some inordinate amount of bonus that it gave the Bucks, and they didn't take over because of that. This was a game where every time there was a call that could have gone one way, they had an opportunity to make good on it right after, and they just didn't.
Blackstone.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics had 34 attempts from the free throw line. The Bucks had 17. Not only that, they were outscored by 20 points in the paint. So should they be upset? Of course they should be upset, because it's the NBA Finals, and if you're a Boston Celtics fan, that's what you do. You get upset.
Oh, it's not even the NBA Finals. It's the NBA
well,
conference
NBA playoffs.
Semifinals. Frank Isola.
Yeah, and the Celtics were up one with 63 seconds ago. Jaylen Brown missed a wide open three. Marcus Smart missed a wide open three. But I think in that situation, Marcus Smart was in the act of shooting. So I think the Bucks got away with one. I love the reporter after the game asked Giannis, would you like to, because the Bucks were complaining as well, would you like to see maybe the referees call a little bit tighter? Listen, I love Giannis Antetokounmpo. If they call things tighter, he might foul out in the first quarter. He was running into everybody, knocking everybody over. That's what the Celtics were upset about.
George Dodano.
Tony, I don't think the Celtics have any beef here, or should have any beef here. I will say this, the NBA does itself, in regards to transparency, it's to its own detriment. Because it's
exactly.
Like, no punishment with this two-minute report at the moment. And then, with Jason Tatum, the Celtics shouldn't be worried. Jason Tatum, the three times he shot sub-30, the next game he shot over 60% and over 30 points.
Yeah.
The Celtics will win.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was a tough game for Tatum. And he's
regular
been
season.
Flawless for months straight. You're right, Sedano. The whole idea of the two-minute report, just because you're admitting it, is an accountability if you're just saying, yeah, we got it wrong. But it doesn't do anything. Like, you're not even giving
we got it wrong.
The injured team, like, extra pre-game meal
Lollipop.
Or something. I don't know what you're... Sarah Spade, Blackest, I'm sorry, we got to run. I want to get to the track. I want to get to the F1. I want to get to... I mean, the Stanley Cup playoffs here. Let's go. Showdown next. Ice and Sedano.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you people would just shut up about the NBA for a second. I mean, the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs here. Listen to the 2-2 series we got last. Bruins, Blues, Lightning, Kings all exploding last night to even their series. Flames, Rangers, and Panthers, they could do it tonight. We could have, how many, 7-2-2s? Which comeback has you coming back for more, George?
Tony, it's easily the Lightning and Leafs. You got the two-time defending champions versus a team that hasn't been out of the first round in 16 years. Come on, it's got to be that.
Who's got the advantage right there, George, right now?
I love Auston Matthews. Give me Auston Matthews all day, every
day. So you think Toronto still has the advantage? George, Frank, how about you?
Yeah, what he wanted to say was that Tampa's now 17-0 following a loss the last three postseasons. But for me, it was Boston. They're down 2-1 in the series. They're down 2-1 in the second period. They scored with 16 seconds left. In the second on a power play, 16 seconds, up two men to start the
just
third.
Just because codes aren't being broken every night and guys are doubtful but actually going to play doesn't mean you don't talk about the NHL guys. We'll move on. Showdown two. Roll tape.
Small ballpark. That's an easy out in 99% of ballparks. So I'm just happy to hit it in a little league ballpark.
Rangers manager Chris Woodward, he's walked it back a little bit on this Gleyber Torres home run. According to Woody Dong, by the way, the people who know these sorts of things, that's a home run in 26 of 30 ballparks. Frank Isola, make a ruling here on Rangers manager Chris Woodward.
Well, he also said he was joking around, but guess what? His team was playing with the same short porch in right field. So right there, and you don't insult the house that Ruth built, especially on Mother's Day. Bad job by
George Dano.
His team also took advantage of that, particularly two home runs that were shorter than that one. And, by the way, would have been a home run in his own park, Tony.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear, George Sedano. 30 seconds of FaceTime. Please talk about the Derby or the F1 race, please.
Well, I want to talk about bad beats here. Bad beat George Sedano, who tried to bet all the long shots, except I didn't scroll down all the way on my TVG app to Rich Strike. And I didn't strike it rich because of that. Oh. So unfortunately, that's bad beat for me. But I did teach my daughter that there are bad beats. She's learning chess. I've never played. She beat me at that. But I had to come back and explain to her, Daddy's the Uno King here at the house. And I beat her 8 out of 10 times. Hard times, Daddy. Hard times. You got to teach her.
He also had the Heat winning over the weekend.
See you tomorrow.